Good morning. Would you pray with me? Holy One, this morning we ask you to open our hearts wide with all that is possible through the power of your great love. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So last year, about this time, I was preparing to say goodbye to this amazing church. After 20 years of ministry, I was feeling the pull to do something new, even if I wasn't sure exactly what that might be. So I set my last Sunday for May 7th, 2023. Getting excited about a new chapter, my wife Laura and I, we put a deposit on our favorite vacation spot in Taos. Our son Ian, about to graduate from South High School, planned a trip to Italy with his best friend. We even talked about getting a puppy. And then on March 29th, after an improbable string of events that is a story in itself, we were told the impossible, that our son Ian had a tumor in the middle of his brain. We canceled Taos. Ian canceled Italy. I postponed my departure from Montview. And in what I'm still not sure was either the dumbest or the most brilliant thing we did that spring, we went ahead and got a puppy. We named him after Winston Churchill to remind us to never, 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 never give up. As you can imagine, the months that followed were blurry-eyed and surreal. As Ian bravely endured two surgeries, 6 weeks of radiation, and 6 months of intensive chemotherapy. And along the way, I can't tell you how many times I looked at our life and I thought, this is not what was supposed to happen. But I have to say, the older I get, the more I wonder if we humans are really in a position to say what is and what is not supposed to happen. Or what is or is not random, or where God is or is not to be found. Not that brain tumors or any other awful thing are ever supposed to happen. My point is more that if we would take a step back and find our humility, we would see a world so marvelously multifaceted, deliciously diverse, intricately interwoven, and perpetually perplexing, that we would know that whatever is going on is clearly above our security clearance. The evidence abounds. I read the other day that this beautiful green-blue marble that we call Earth is spinning on its own tilted axis at 1,000 miles an hour. That's faster than the speed of sound. Think about that. And while it's spinning, it's also hurling around the sun at 67,000 miles an hour. Think about that. And all of this is while our solar system is racing around the Milky Way galaxy at a cool 465,000 miles an hour. Don't think about that. You'll pull something. But think about this. That same Milky Way of stars in the sky is used by the dung beetle to find his way home at night. You put a paper plate over top of him so he can't see the stars. He starts going around in circles. Completely loses his way. Tell me how that can be. Tell me how any of this can possibly be. How we do not just stumble around in stunned wonder all day can only be explained by our remarkable capacity for self-preoccupation. given the unfathomable mystery that is our everyday reality, the question, it seems to me, is not how do we understand life? The question that truly matters is, do we trust it? Do we trust it? Whether or not we fundamentally trust life is a question that shapes everything. And most of us, most of the time, if we're honest, really don't. We depend instead on a security of our own making. We find our safety in our network of friends and our 401k. We put our faith in our family and our natural good looks and our charm and the number of followers we have and likes that we get. And there is nothing really wrong about any of these things. It's just that they're not built to last. They all can and eventually will be taken from us. Which means that we are always looking over our shoulder or waiting for a shoe to drop. We end up leading lives that are too defensive and too protective and too afraid, which I think we can agree describes most of our world most of the time. So what would trusting life really look like? Well, we know it can't be a trust that things will work out the way we hope they will, or a trust that if we have enough faith, bad things won't happen. If the story of Jesus tells us anything, it tells us that. But there is another kind of trust, a more durable trust, a trust that is wide enough and deep enough to hold all of the trials and troubles, all of the pain and the fear and the despair of being human. A trust that can contain all of our suffering, but not be crushed by it. It is a trust that the disciples had to find as they stared disbelievingly at Jesus hanging from a cross. After all that they had been through, they too must have thought, this is not what was supposed to happen. It is a trust that Jesus seems to know in his bones, but that even he lost in the Garden of Gethsemane when his soul, the text says, was deeply grieved, and he begged God if there was any way to take this cup from him. And it is a trust that Jesus found again in the next moment when he spoke what may be the four most powerful words in all the gospel. If this cup cannot be taken, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Is it even possible for us to live with that kind of trust? And if so, where do we find it? When Ian was diagnosed last March, it felt like we had been thrown into the ocean. There was just no solid ground to stand on, and for 10 months, we just floated in a sea of helplessness. So when the doctor looked at the MRI after his last chemo this past January and said, I think we got it, I remember feeling for the first time in a very long time like I could see dry land. But something told me not to be in too big a rush to get back there. Because when circumstances strip us of our normal sense of security and control, we see life differently. And in some ways, I think we see it more clearly. And having gone so long with nothing to stand on, I dared to be honest with myself about a hard truth. that there really is no dry land. Nothing truly solid to stand on. It is all ocean as far as the eye can see. But here's another truth that's not quite so hard. It is in that ocean where we find that durable trust that we so longed for. Because the ocean, it turns out, is not something we need to be afraid of. The ocean is home. It is where we came from. It is where we will return to. And isn't that the Easter story? A man falls into the ocean, and it appears to all the world that he has drowned, but to the surprise of his closest friends, and maybe even himself, the ocean not only does not destroy him, it takes what was not supposed to happen and makes it beautiful. Because this is what ocean always does. Always. Maybe not in the way that we want, or on the schedule that we would like, and maybe not even in this lifetime, which is so incredibly hard. But Easter says that while there will be sorrow in this life, there need not be so much fear. It dares us to trust that while there are things in this life that are scary, there is ultimately nothing to be afraid of. And oh, how life might look differently if we were not so afraid. If we could live our lives more trusting in and more surrendered to this mystery that is speeding us so raucously through the universe and helping the dung beetle to find his way home. If we could admit that we simply do not know what is or is not supposed to happen, and therefore we cannot say what seeds of hope may lie hidden in the soil of our hardships. Or what healing could emerge from the shards of our own broken dreams? How can we know the limit of what is possible when we are dealing with a God who enjoys raising the dead? These days at the Cummins house, we are making plans again. My second annual retirement is set for May 5th. With a party on May 3rd, and you are all invited. A trip to Taos is back on the calendar. Ian, feeling great these days, just got back from a week in Italy. Winston is getting some long overdue lessons in how to stay and sit and not chase squirrels. And Laura, Ian, Anna, and I are getting some lessons too in how to stay here in this present moment, the only moment there ever is. How to sit with uncertainty and not be afraid. How to not chase questions that we can't have answers to, or cling to security that we don't really have. In short, we are learning how to trust life and to be thankful for the gift that each day is, including the gift of this day. This gloriously beautiful Easter morning that I am spending with all of you. Which is something that, if someone didn't know better, would have said was not supposed to happen.